NPR News.
It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Friday, September 20th, 2024. I'm Brooke Schaefer with Raven News. This year's permanent fund dividend will be $1,702. PFD announcements of years past included oversized novelty checks and press conferences, but the Department of Revenue quietly made the announcement Thursday in a prepared statement, as it has in recent years. The dividend total includes a normal dividend amount of about $1,400 plus a roughly $300 energy relief payment approved by the legislature last year. This year's PFD amount is about $400 more than last year's. State officials say over 600,000 Alaskans will be eligible for a dividend this year. Residents who applied electronically for direct deposit should start seeing PFDs in their accounts on October 3rd. All other dividends, including paper checks, are set to go out October 26th. Police are investigating after a 41-year-old Sitkin allegedly drove his car into the water at Eliason Harbor. According to a press release, around 10 p.m. Wednesday night, the Sitka Police Department received multiple 911 calls reporting that a vehicle had driven off the road and flipped into the water near the harbor's drive-down ramp. Officers located a silver Honda SUV in the water near the North Rock Wall of Eliason Harbor. Police say the driver was alone and able to exit the vehicle on his own. He was transported to Mount Edgecombe Medical Center for a medical evaluation. Police say alcohol is believed to be a factor in the accident and charges may be filed. Sitka's Community Land Trust has passed its first, and possibly most important, test. A cottage home built and sold 2 years ago by the trust has just been resold at a price far below the market rate for housing in Sitka. Yet the original homeowner still walked away with both her equity and considerable cash. KCAW's Robert Woolsey recently got a refresher on the Land Trust's financial strategy from the organization's executive director.
Randy Huey is excited, and who can blame him? The Sitka Community Land Trust has made a calculated bet that it can preserve affordability in Sitka's skyrocketing housing market without much sacrifice on the part of owners or lenders, and it appears to be working. One of the trust's original seven cottages just changed hands, the first time the organization has put its resale agreement into play.
And we were very relieved to see that it worked as anticipated.
The secret sauce is that the land, the lot that the cottage occupies, is not part of the transaction. Only the building is sold. The land remains forever the property of the trust. That's part one of affordability. The second part is that the agreement owners make when they buy a home from the trust limits their ability to profit. Limits profit, but does not eliminate it, by the way. The original buyer of the cottage still cleared a large chunk of change.
Just less than 2 years ago, the value of the home was appraised at $340,000. 20 months later, it was appraised at $440,000. So the person selling their home kept 25% of that, or $25,000, plus the money that they used for a down payment and any equity that they purchased each month.
So before you start rolling your eyes at the affordability of a $440,000 cottage, remember that Huey is only talking about the appraised value. The actual cost of the cottage, both to the original buyer and to the new owner, is far less.
The real beauty of this model is then that the initial home cost to that buyer, the initial buyer, was $275,000. Now, because they took out $25,000 of, here, air quotes, profit, we put the house back on the market for $300,000 plus closing fees. So it changed from $275,000 cost to buyer to $300,000 cost to buyer, even though the appraisal went through the roof.
It's hard for Sitkins to miss the new neighborhood of attractive cottages. Now others are starting to see the numbers. At a recent presentation on the state of Sitka's economy, Melani Shivens of Raincoast Data called out Huey and the Land Trust.
The Sitka model, everyone's trying to replicate that.
Huey demurs. The Sitka Community Land Trust didn't invent this model, but adapted it from elsewhere. But it's demonstrated, finally, that the model is practical in Alaska and in Sitka's housing market, where the price of an average home has just dropped to $500,000, down from a mere $629,000 2 years ago. That dip is unlikely to continue. If it did, the land trust's appraisal-based resale strategy becomes less attractive.
So if the appraisal collapses because somehow or another, you know, the market takes a big dive, then you can lose money on a community land trust home just as you can on an on-the-market home.
Despite the recent relief, the cost of housing in Sitka will probably start creeping up again in lockstep with the rising cost of new construction. Huey reports that the land trust is tackling that problem too. The organization has just won a $300,000 grant from the Denali Commission that it will use as a revolving construction fund, which will spare its buyers from having to obtain a construction loan, a savings of about $20,000 off the top of a new cottage. It's a win for everyone except the banks, whose participation from the very beginning has made the land trust strategy possible. Nevertheless, Huey is not concerned. They'll be okay, he said.
While high school racers were burning up the trails in Sitka National Historical Park last weekend for a regional cross-country meet, some younger students had a rare opportunity for interscholastic competition. More than a dozen students from CAKE traveled across Kuprinoff Island for Petersburg's fifth-ever middle school cross-country meet. It's the first of only two cross-country meets this fall for area middle schoolers. KFSK's Hannah Floor has the story.
Okay, here we go. It's just before 9:30 on a Saturday morning. 16 middle school girls tow the starting line on Dolphin Street in front of Petersburg's elementary school.
There'll only be two commands, and that's going to be runners to your marks, and then the gun will fire.
The girls from CAKE are in red, Petersburg Vikings in black.
Runners to your marks.
Ahead of them, a 2.1-mile course. First half mile takes runners up a slow incline to a network of trails through the Muskeg, then back down to the northernmost point of Mitgoff Island, along the water, and finally up a long, slow, unkind hill to the finish line. It's the fifth Petersburg Invitational since 2016, when the middle school running club shifted to become a competing team. But it's the first time for the CAKE runners. Coach Anthony Ross says he's excited they're getting some competition.
We compete ourselves against ourselves every day, you know, but have that extra competition really goes a long way, especially athletes, you know, and just to see other communities as well, too, kind of broaden their culture, broaden their horizon a little bit. You know, it's great for our kids, great for our students.
And he says he's not really worried about that hill at the end.
We're kind of used to that hill. The girls are a little humble. You know, we finish on a hill every single day.
Less than 15 minutes after the gun goes off, the first runner appears way down North Nordic Drive.
Oh, there they are. Holy cow. Let's go.
It's 7th grader Aria Holmgren running for Petersburg.
I don't know. I have a mic.
There's nobody on her tail, but she doesn't slow down as she closes in on the finish line. After she catches her breath, Holmgren tells me she just focused on what was ahead of her as she ran.
I was just thinking, just look forward, keep on going. It's okay if you get third or last. It doesn't matter. At least you try your best.
She has straightforward goals when she's running.
Get in front, try to do my best, and then cheer on my teammates or help, like, cheer on CAKE, the other team.
Petersburg Activities Director Jamie Cabral likes to cheer on the other team, too. That's CAKE's Cadence Pageant, fourth place finisher. After the race, I ask him about it.
I noticed that it seemed like you were cheering on the CAKE girls by name.
Yep.
Did you learn their names?
I learned their names, yeah.
Cabral says he reached out to CAKE's coach and a whole bunch of coaches around Southeast, trying to get as much competition as possible for the Mitgoff middle schoolers.
You know, we don't have the luxury of going on a bus and just driving up to another school and running, so it's all logistically challenging, but worth it for the kids.
We head back to Dolphin Street for the boys' race.
I'm excited for this one because that race was really competitive with the girls. I think this one will be just as competitive.
So the Vikings should be a little bit worried.
Maybe just a little, but they've been working hard. Coach Joe's got them ready.
Okay. That's Coach Joe Vicnicki. And Coach Joe does have them ready, huddled near the starting line.
Two, three. Go Vikings!
All right, have a good race.
The boys line up.
Runners, take your mark.
This time, it's not much more than 10 minutes before we see the speck of a Viking runner climbing the long hill.
Go, Joe!
8th grader Joe Hofstetter flies across the finish line, knees high, with a time just shy of 12 minutes, 40 seconds.
Did you think that you were going to win?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. I thought I was going to beat the record, though.
Did you beat the record?
No.
Hofstetter has been training hard this season.
So your dad says you get up at 5 in the morning every morning to run.
4. Yeah. I really love running. I used to hate it, and then I learned to really like it.
He runs again in the afternoon with the team. He says it does take a lot to fuel all that running.
Granola, and yogurt, spaghetti, bread.
As we talk, more runners cross the finish line. Petersburg 8th grader Camden Johnson finishes second, half a minute after Hofstetter.
Let's go, Camden!
Followed by 5 more Vikings in a row. At the end of the meet, Coach Vicnicki says he's proud of the kids, but he's not going to take it easy on them.
Practice will get harder from here, right, girls?
Vikings standing nearby, grimace.
We just ramp up our intensity through the month and build our muscles. I know, they're looking at me like, what are you talking about?
This is not what I signed up for.
Vicnicki says the team has a meet in Craig at the end of the month, where they'll also compete against Kloak. In Petersburg, I'm Hannah Flohr.
I'm Brooke Schaefer, and this has been Raven News.
This is Morning Edition on Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. It's 1 minute after 8 o'clock. We're headed into NPR headlines and Alaska.